So our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many examples we have of those who have gone before us, for their faith, for their love for you, and we thank you, Lord, most of all, though, for what they saw, and they saw you, Lord Jesus, or those of the patriarchs before the time of Christ. They saw God, and they understood who you were and had faith in you. So we praise you, Lord, for that and for their examples. As we look at some of them this morning, we ask these things in Christ's name and ask your blessing on your word as we look at it today. Ask your blessing on myself and those of us here as we just think on these things. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Exodus, the children of Israel. Yeah, sometimes when I'm cleaning the church here, I play music, and I found the old Keith Green CD, and I was playing that song, So You Want to Go Back to Egypt. I think I told Jonas about it, and you borrowed it. It's like, it's not like we're not like the Israelites, and we don't get tempted to go back to things that we know are wrong, and we know, and we just, it's like almost not like we know, it's just like, well, boy, it just was easier this way. This kind of is easier, and it's not the way God wants us to go. So we'll just review some of this stuff, right? In Exodus, it talks about the children of Israel, right? The children of Israel. They were, when Joseph and his brothers came, Joseph was in ruling Egypt, the whole story of Joseph and how the brothers came, and then, eventually Israel was, a lot of it was in Canaan, and the beginning of Exodus says, and there came a ruler who didn't know of Joseph, and the people soon, in over generations, were in bondage. All the Israelites, the people, the sons of Israel, children of Israel. So Exodus, the Greek word, is a Greek word for departure. It means it's time to leave, we're done with that, we're out of here. And the theme of Exodus, believe it or not, is that I see, at least in this, is redemption. We're going to depart from those things, we're redeemed, we have to take that redemption and move forward with it. If we look at Moses and the story of Moses and his life, he is a type of Christ. He is not Christ, but he is a type of Christ because he led the Israelites, he led them out of bondage and slavery. Just as Christ, when we trust and believe in him, can lead us out of bondage and slavery of the sin that draws and just desires. So think for a minute about those things. Maybe those sins that I know I have them, and I don't, they're like, they talk about a house and how the Lord comes in and he cleans house. But there's that closet in the corner I just didn't empty because it's those things that I still like, that little sinful thing I like, and it's just not, it's that's what's going to put me in bondage. That's put me in slavery. And, it's funny, I think I own that whole house, and I'm in that thing with God, and we're like doing it together. But no, I got like a chain on my wrist or on my ankle that's tying me to that bondage of slavery. So we're going to look at that and how these things happen, and we're going to listen to that song, So You Want to Go Back to Egypt by Keith Green, and I'm going to kind of even go through that song and review some of the things that are talked about in that. And at the end, I'll have Neil play the song. It's a cute song. I like it's great. So in the Old Testament, your faith, right? If you had faith, what was your faith in? Did you have faith in Christ in the Old Testament? No, there was no Christ. Christ hadn't come. You had faith in God and in God's law. And you know what that was given for? God's law and God gave you himself and these things that he asked you to do so that you could have victory, so that the people could have victory over sin. And that's what they had. That was given to them. And he wanted us, and he wanted the Israelites to have victory over sin. And not even just the Israelites, those who believed on him, on God, and knew of him. The New Testament, what is our faith in? What we find? We find Christ. So our faith must be in Christ and Christ's work on the cross. So Christ's work on the cross was given to give us victory over sin. So the victory over sin happened different ways at different times, before Christ and after Christ. All right. You know, God made a covenant with Abraham that he would give them this promised land. So in this land of Egypt, where they were in bondage, they weren't getting the promise of what God had for them. A land flowing with milk and honey, you know, a beautiful place, a nation which is still, to this day, the nation of Israel. And all the prophecies and things that had to happen, the dismantling of Israel and what happened early on when the Romans took over and all that, all the way up until the 1940s, I think it was. What year was it? 48, when Israel became a nation again, right? But we're talking now about the Israelites being led out of Egypt by Moses. All right. I want to make sure we get done in time. So the words of this song, I'm going to read the first verse, and then we'll pick it apart. So you want to go back to Egypt, where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry you bought a one-way ticket when you thought you were sure you wanted to live in the land of promise? But now it's getting so hard. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of your own backyard? You know, it's nice. I know my backyard. I know how long it takes to cut that grass. I know where I plant the plants and the rows and trim the hedges. And, you know, I know what it takes. But what if God has something so much better? So much better. So let's look at Exodus chapter 12. We'll start there. You might as well just turn to Exodus. We're going to be flipping through a lot of pages in Exodus and in Deuteronomy too, because there's some great things that happened in Deuteronomy. I mean, great in God's mighty power. But let's look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 32 to 36, and I may read a couple more. So, if we know the story of Exodus, how many people are familiar with the story of Exodus and know about all the plagues and all that? And finally, Pharaoh said, y'all pretty familiar with that? And Pharaoh said, all right, you're out of here. During the night, verse 31, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron, said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also bless me. So Moses and Aaron had told Pharaoh that they wanted to take the people into the desert to worship God. So Pharaoh finally, after all these plagues and losing his firstborn son, right, at Passover, the Passover, he said, go. So the Egyptians, now get this though, look what they did. They urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added, unleavened bread, and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. They plundered. The slaves plundered their masters because God put it in their hearts. The Lord had made the verse 36, the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. Well, you know, that's how God works, isn't it? Sometimes we just need something. We need, and we ask the Lord, say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. So you ask him. And does the Lord provide? He just does. He just does somehow. I mean, Kathy and I, sometimes I'm like, how are we going to make it? And things just happen and come through. And I think it's the people like, well, I mean, I've sat in this church, in this chapel, I grew up here, and just listened to stories of people, of missionaries and others who just, where they were like down to their last little something and had nothing left, and the Lord just, bam, provides for them. Amazing. All right. So there's the warm and secure part. So you want to go back to Egypt where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry you bought the one-way ticket when you thought you were sure you wanted to live in the land of promise? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 16 to 22. What is this land of promise that we're talking about? Well, Moses was told about this place. So Moses was told by God, and I have a little blurb in here, it says, who, me? Let me read you that. Moses had big doubts about his ability to lead. He resisted God, bringing up his unworthiness here and a lack of authority, his fear of the people's distrust, and his fear of the people's distrust, his speech difficulties, and his sheer cowardice. The remainder of Exodus should give people a similar self, should give people with similar self-doubts great hope, for it traces Moses' personal development from his fumbling start to his emergence as one of history's most decisive and powerful leaders. If you think you can't do it, maybe you can't, but with God, you can. With God, because he's with you. So let's look at verses 16 to 22. God said, go assemble the elders and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were going to the land of promise. Well, it is. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. So you're going to go, but it's not going to be like you're going to walk in and it's just going to be there. There's people there. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go up to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I'll stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. And after that, he will let you go. God will perform wonders, things that we don't get, but he will perform wonders in our lives. We may not understand why things are going bad or good, but he will. Faith in God's law and faith in Christ does not put you on that vacation cruise, you know, where it's open, you know, open bar, open restaurants, everything's on the house. We just go. So we have to take steps, you know, the grass looks greener sometimes on the other side, but sometimes we get there and it feels like it's hard. So we just keep going and the Lord will provide for us. All right. All right, well, I'm going to stick with this. In the song that we're going to hear, it talks about eating leeks and onions by the Nile. Ooh, what breath for dining out in style. Well, my wife can testify to that. When I eat onions, especially for dinner, it's like I should just sleep in another bedroom. She's like, ooh, what breath for dining out in style. Ooh, my life's on the skids building the pyramids. You know, so this is what the Israelites were up to, right? They were slaves. They worked hard, okay? But they got through. They got out of Egypt. Let's look at how God provided for the Israelites through. So, yeah, think about that too. So how are the Israelites provided for? Eating leeks and onions by the Nile. We're building the pyramids, and they had food. So they had a job. They had food. You know, they'd go home, and they'd prepare their food. And so, you know, they had a life, and they had parameters, boundaries. They knew. And sometimes that's nice. That feels good to have that, you know? But when there's a land of promise, is that, you know, it's like, am I going to be comfortable going to this promised land? It sounds great, you know? That cruise sounds great. So, you know, we do. We can be that way. We can get comfortable in our own little world. But the Lord does have a promise for us, and we have a blessed hope, especially in Christ, to look forward to. All right. Exodus 15. We're going to find in verse 22. So, the Israelites are out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. And now what do they got to do? Well, they got to travel. So, the words of the song go, well, there's nothing to do but travel, but we travel, sure travel a lot, because it's hard to keep your feet moving when the sand gets so hot. And then, but let's look at this, Exodus 15, 22 and 24. Verse 22, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. That's 3 days, no water, not finding any. I'm sure they carried some, they had some, but it had to have been getting a little low. And think about this, you've got you, your wife, your kids, your mother, your father, your animals, your, you know, everything, right? And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. Marah means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Complaining has started already. First few days, right? Then Moses cried to the Lord. The Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. It's amazing how the Lord provides. You wonder how Moses' faith must have been. You know, where how does that come? You know, how does it come when you have yourself and your brother, who you kind of hesitantly came along, and all these hundreds of thousands of people feeling like they're against you? But he cried to the Lord. And this is going to be a common theme you'll see over and over. And it's a lesson that's one of our lessons. Who do we cry to? Don't cry to your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your wife, your husband. Cry to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. And cast your cares on him, you know? So he cast the wood in the water, he threw it in the water became sweet, and therefore they had enough water for the entire group. The Lord provided. Let's look at 16, verses 2 and 3. Exodus 16, 2 and 3. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Wait a sec. So they got a drink. Well, now we've had a drink. We're hungry. McDonald's is not there. We can't go to the drive-thru and order 600,000 cheeseburgers, you know? So, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." I mean, come on, really? That sounds like the kids, you know? "I'm gonna die." What was the line? Oh, our son Matt, he had a real bad throw up, upchuck virus, and he just had, he had the bucket in front of him, like for, it felt to him, he was a little kid, for hours, and he just was like, "I'm gonna have to marry this bucket." It's like, "I'm gonna have to marry the bucket." Thought it was gonna be with it for the rest of his life. We still chuckle about him. You know, when somebody's really sick, they're going to have to marry the bucket. Because it's like, but look, you're just, come on. So, look, you brought us out here to the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. So what happens? The Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down from heaven for you. I will rain down bread," I'm sorry, bread, the most important part, "bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." Now, guys, we as men, at least me as a man, sometimes think we don't need to follow the instructions. I know how to handle this. I can put this thing together. I could take care, I could fix this. Who needs the instructions, right? This was important. This is like, you want to eat? Follow the instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and this is to be twice as much as they gather on other days. And why was this? Because the seventh day was the Sabbath, and we were to rest on the Sabbath. And still to this day. Some people think it's a day of rest. Some people will not work. Many people don't. I try as hard as I can not to work on Sunday, but the Sabbath was Saturday for them. Anyway, let's keep going. So there's the manna, right, that they're going to get. And what an amazing thing. So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you'll know that it was the Lord, not Moses, who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him." Who are we that you should grumble against us? He deferred this glory, this power that they kept saying to him, "Well, you did this, Moses, you did that." But what does he do? He says, "Well, this is what the Lord has done for me. And he's doing it for you. The Lord will give you. The Lord has put me in this place. The Lord is going to do this for you." A wonderful thing to remember. Reminds me of our cousin John, how the Lord, the man has done very well for himself in his 82 years, I guess. And all he says is, "It's all of the Lord." He says, "It's all of the Lord. The Lord had this for me. He's given it to me." What a blessing. You know, he's not greedy. It's the Lord. He says, "The Lord has provided for me." And this is what Moses says in this case. The Lord is going to do this for you. He's going to take care of you. So thank him. All righty. Let's look in. So what happens? They get the manna, right? So here's what, in the lyrics of the song, it says, "In the morning, it's manna hotcakes. We snack on manna all day. And sure, we sure had a winner last night for dinner, flaming manna souffle." All right. Let's look at Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 21. verses 4 through 9. Okay, Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 through 9. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water. We detest this miserable food." Now they're tired of the wonderful manna they had given. So then the Lord, look at that though, verse 5. They spoke against God, against Moses, and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert?" It's tough when we go through, it is, when we all go through tough times, and sometimes do we say, "Why? Why, Lord?" And we do. I know I do. And that's what I think of when I see this. Why, Lord? What is going on? You know? And this is where we see, how are we doing on time? I'll do this. So, let's read through verse 9. So then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. What does it take for you and I to realize when we've spoken against God, against those who love us? You know, we have little kids in here today, and there's kids down in the basement, you know, learning about the Lord. So easy, you know, for the kids to why? What's going on? You know, like we question. What's going on? What are you doing to me? The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Basically, I was always taught, this is like a type of Christ, you know? He was raised up. If we look to him, we're saved. Look to Christ, we're saved. And this is what was I'll read what it says. In John chapter 3, verse 14, talks about this. Jesus chose this incident as one of the examples from the Old Testament history that illustrates his own person and work. Through the snake and through Jesus, God provided a way of escape that required only faith from the people. In typical style, the Israelites corrupted the meaning by keeping the bronze snake as an idol to worship. Centuries later, King Hezekiah destroyed this image. Some people say, "Why don't we have a cross in here? Where's the cross?" No images. we don't need it, you know? So there you go. All right. Let's look while you're in Numbers, turn back to chapter 16. Another line from the song by Keith Green. "Well, we once complained for something new to munch instead of manna. The ground opened us and had some of us for lunch." "Ooh, such fire and smoke. Can't God even take a joke?" Well, let's look what happened here. We're going to read the whole chapter. Korah, son of Izhar, son of Goath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites. We'll skip down to verse 2. They became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "What? You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourself above the Lord's assembly?" When Moses heard this, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy. and he will have that person come near him. And the man he chooses, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers, they're like things, and tomorrow, and put fire and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far. You know, they were essentially rebelling against Moses and his leadership. Moses also said to Korah, now listen, you Levites, and think about this and what Christ has done for us. Think about this as where we stand in Christ. Isn't it enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelite community and brought you near himself to do the work of the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community and minister to them? These were the leaders. These were the leaders of the people, the spiritual leaders. And they were complaining about the one who was leading them, who was, you know, overall, who God had clearly appointed to be over them. He has brought you and all your fellow Levites near himself, but now you are trying to get the priesthood too. It is against the Lord that you and all your followers have banded together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him? Aaron, Moses' brother, who was the head of the priesthood. Then Moses summoned Dathan, Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come. Isn't it enough that you have brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert? Oh. So now they're remembering, is this selective memory? They forget about the bricks, baking bricks, and then they said to bake bricks, and then, oh, no straw. They're going to make it harder. Oh, we're going to kill all the males, all your sons. And this is what they're remembering of that wonderful time in Egypt, that they think it was, you brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert, and now you want to lord it over us. Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey or given us an inheritance with fields and vineyards. Will you gouge out the eyes of these men? No, we will not come. Moses became angry and said to the Lord. So he became angry. Who did he talk to? The Lord. Right? He didn't take it out on those people. He said to the Lord, do not accept their offering. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, nor have I wronged any of them. Moses said to Korah, you and all your followers appear before the Lord tomorrow. You and they and Aaron and each man is to take his censer and put incense in it, 250 censers in all, present it before the Lord. You and Aaron to present your censers also. So each man took his censer, put fire and incense in it, stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance of the tent meeting. When Korah had gathered all his followers in opposition to them at the entrance of the tent of the meeting, the glory of the Lord appeared to this entire assembly. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, separate yourselves from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once. What does Moses do? They're against him. These other people are against him. What does Moses do? But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out, oh God, God of the spirits of mankind, will you be angry with the entire assembly when only one man sins? Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So the entire people that were there moved away from these families, right? Move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of their sins. So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives and children and little ones at the entrance of their tents. Then Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things, and that it is not my idea. If these men die a natural death and experience only what happens to men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down to the alive into the grave, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them, and their households, and all Korah's men, and all their possessions. They went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, "The earth is going to swallow us too!" And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. Well, the Lord can do what he wishes. You know, he parted the Red Sea, and he went across on dry land. And now look at this. He can give life, but he could take life. He's amazing. So that's that line in the song when you'll hear, "Well, we once complained about for something new to munch. The ground opened us and had some of us for lunch. Ooh, such fire and smoke. Can't God even take a joke?" Anyway, let's move on. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Keep going through your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're going to see a little bit about what Moses had in store for him. Deuteronomy chapter, okay, so for you, Deuteronomy 7:7. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." He's talking about the Israelites here. And here they are in the desert still. And he wants them to know what it is that they need to do. And how to follow him, you know, keep the commandments of the Lord. Do what's right, do what's good. Boy, there was another verse in here, and I don't see where I didn't write it down, but let's keep going. It's got to be here somewhere. There we go. Jesus. Okay, chapter 8. Flip over to chapter 8 in Deuteronomy, verse 3. My head of the quote at the beginning of this section of this chapter is, "Do not forget the Lord." So verse 3 of chapter 8, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Look at verse 6. "Observe the commands of the Lord, your God, walking in his ways and revering him." And here's why. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water and springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat, barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." So when you, I actually underlined this verse, verse 10. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." Good times, it's easy to remember. Bad times, it's not. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's wrap it up. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 26. And we're going to read verses 26 to 29. "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God. Turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings, and on Mount Elab the curses. The curses? We always talk about count your blessings every day, you know, it's like, but what brings the bad things into our life? What brings the curses? You know, how do they happen? And how does God bring us through them too? When we have troubles in our life, it may seem strange to remember the curses of disobeying God. For the people to proclaim the curses of their own disobedience. To remember how we ended up there. How did I end up, Lord, with this mess that I have on my hands now? It's because of what I did, because I didn't follow you, Lord. But he also has us remember the blessings of obedience. All right, so in conclusion of this, right, to think about what this is about, right? The Old Testament, what could you have? You had faith in God, and you had God's chosen leader. And here was Moses, clearly God's chosen leader. And to have faith also, but Moses, when we look at him, what did he always say when they said, look what you've done to us, Moses, look what you've done to us? And Moses said, this is what God has told us to do. This is what God has told us to do. Here, you know, when you think about Adam in the garden, and God says to Adam, what is this you have done? And what did Adam say? Well, this woman you gave me has, it's like, but the way it is the way Moses did it. God, you told me, and then the people say, why did you do this to us? And he said, because God told me. He listened to God. He listened to God and he obeyed. So faith in God. The law was given to Moses and to the Israelites to give them victory over sin, right? To give them victory over sin. Sin is going to tempt us our whole lives, these things. And the Lord will take us. He'll help us. The New Testament, what do we have? Faith in Christ. Christ's work on the cross was given to give victory over sin. The law was given, Old Testament, to give victory over sin. Christ's work on the cross was given to us to give us victory over sin. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Thank you for these things we can look at, the lives of the patriarchs, Lord, the things that have happened throughout history, Lord. Ancient history like this, Lord, and recent history where we see atrocities and things happening for those who have turned their backs on you and on the Lord and on Israel. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your love for us. The love shown through your Son's work, Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Bless our day. Bless our time together as we spend them with our families and friends. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day, this amazing day, Lord. Help us to enjoy it. Help us to share the promises, the wonderful promises of God with each other, with our friends and our family and strangers we meet, Lord. Help us to be a light for you to show people to Christ. Just like you gave the Israelites that pillar of light by night, and that cloud, that pillar of in the day to show people the way. Help us show people the way to you, not to us, not to what we can do and to what we have, but show people the way to Christ. And we ask this in the name of your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.